We're continuing today in our Sunday school lesson concerning this whole matter of critical race theory. And I'm not going to finish today. Obviously, it's a subject that needs more time. And so this will be the last Sunday school session that I'll be doing on it. But I'll have some Sunday nights that I will attribute to this particular subject, because I believe it's important for us to handle the things that we are faced with in our society on a biblical basis, not a religious basis, because they are not the same. I shared with you last time religion's response to the black race and how they responded to it. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to mention those that were in our camp, how they responded to the whole race issue. 1956 was a major year in the United States of America. We're in the middle of the second term of Eisenhower. There was much debate about moving forward with civil rights legislation. And there were many people that were asking leaders to write about this subject. What is going on here? Why are we wanting to give rights to the black people? It was amazing some of the things that came forth during that time. John R. Rice was one who wrote a book in 1956, I should say a booklet, called The Black and the White. Actually, he renamed it The Negro and the White. And in that book, he went into great detail about the fact that all men are created equal and made a very strong case for that. But then toward the end of the book, he strayed into more of this subject here, that the Jim Crow laws that have been established in the South are for the good of the African race. That they are not actually people who are equal in some areas, and they should be subjugated. Now, again, where are we going back to? Evolutionary theory, all right, that impacted fundamentalism. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, but it's true. It's true. The battle, and I don't want to go back and impugn the motives of people that have lived in the past. All I can do is take what they wrote. All right? That's all I'm doing. Take what they write. And said, you know, the Jim Crow laws, you know, separate bathrooms, separate drinking facilities, making them ride in the back of the bus. That's for the good of the black race. Now, anybody that would look at it through the prism of American principles, much less what the Bible says, would say there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. Why separate water fountains? Well, we all know they're unclean. Well, I want you to know there are a lot of white people that are unclean too. As a matter of fact, there's probably more of them. Why the back of the bus? Because they're not the same as we are. What's the identifying factor? Color. Let's just face it. Let me give you another preacher in 1956 that came out. He was invited to speak to the Southern Baptist Convention in South Carolina. And I want to tell you something. He got up there and he blistered the politicians that were moving for civil rights legislation in 1956. And he immediately went directly to the teaching that we all know that the Negroid race is the cursed race. Went into great detail as far, not biblical details, social details. They're a cursed people. They've been subjugated in Africa, and now they need to be subjugated here, and went down the laws of why they were important to maintain. But he went through an epiphany in 1964. Just a few years later, when he got up in front of his church, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, he got up in the pulpit and said, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was preaching my Southern roots, not preaching my Bible. Okay? Now, let's just call things what they are. Many of us have grown up in the South. And we have been exposed in our growth to negativity toward the black race. All right? Negativity toward them. Not everybody feels that way. I don't mean to just broad brush the whole thing. There are good people that understand and know that we're all of one blood. Amen? We're all of one blood. I didn't say that. I didn't make it up. That's Acts 17:26. If you want to argue with God about that, you go ahead and do that. 0.012 genetic difference. The only difference is the amount of melanin. That's it. That's it. Same blood that's flowing through the veins. Because of ideas and opinions in the South especially, but in other places around the world as well, there's a lot of bigotry in some locations in Europe to black people. There are some places in Africa where they despise certain ethnic groups. They're all of the same color, but they despise each other. So, and by the way, just because your skin tone is white does not mean you're more intelligent. All right? Where do we get that from? Our skin tone makes us more intelligent? Yes, sir. That's right. That is exactly right. Training and exposure. How you were trained. How you were taught. We assume mama and daddy are always right. Correct? And theologically, they could be wrong. Let me read to you a quote. Brother Gamble gave this to me. It's by a man by the name of Eric Erickson. And I want you to listen carefully to what he has to say, because we're dealing with the theological aspect of this. And we're going to be getting into that more today from Ephesians chapter 2. At the civic constitutional level, the United States is not systematically racist, all right? But systemic racism at a theological level is a real thing. Now, did you get what he said? On a theological level, it's a real thing. Why? Because people are sinners. The problem with churches engaging civically on the theological front on this is simple. The United States demands a separation of church and state. The answer to systemic racism is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The United States will not accept that answer. Therefore, churches are left to do what exactly? Work with those on the left who reject Christianity to enact public policy solutions that are devoid of Jesus, implemented by sinners who do not recognize systemic racism as a sin, and fueled by a moment that sees everything as an allocation of power. Good luck with finding a solution. We know what the solution is. Salvation in Jesus Christ. But you see, you've got the left that try to solve it with what? They say, all right, whites, you have to give up all your power so we can solve racism. That's the solution. It's not the solution. It's not the solution at all. Because there's racism in Africa among the different tribes. Always has been. Because there's a sin problem. Sin problem. But then the right comes in and they try to enact public policy solutions. All right? Public. We don't view it as a sin. We view it as a political problem. But it's not a political problem. It's a what? It's a sin problem. So this writer says, good luck with finding a solution apart from Jesus Christ. It is a theological problem because it deals with the souls of sinners. Oh, this is so important. I'm going to move on from this slide here because I don't have time to really go into all the different writings. I could read you quotes from fundamentalists and things that have been written over the years that I don't think are biblical. They're not biblical. They're Southern. They're social teaching that was passed down from generation, but it's not biblical teaching. I want to kind of point out something here. Christopher Shore is a conservative who did his PhD on the racism issues. And he writes for the Federalist, which is a conservative website. And he wanted to find out why the left has chosen to identify only one color as the problem in the world. And what color is that? White. All right, white is the problem. Whiteness. White nationalism, white supremacy. White, 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 white. As a matter of fact, he went through, and from the year 2000 to, I think it was 2016, he just went through magazine articles looking for how whiteness was being blamed for racism. Remember, that's the left's solution. If we remove white, we have a solution to the race problem. That's their whole mantra. He quotes from the Huffington Post, which is a very liberal online magazine, 10 things white people need to quit saying. That'll help solve racism. 10 things white people, and you read it, it's horrible. It's horrible. Next, Salon Magazine, another liberal magazine. White men must be stopped. The very future of humanity depends upon it. White men, that's the problem. Yeah, you know, you inject melanin into a black person, what happens to their skin tone? Michael Jackson. Increased melanin, that's all he did. And he became white. All right, so it's not the skin tone that's the problem. It's a theological problem. It's a problem of the heart. But they're saying, oh no, it's color. Everything is divided. Critical race theory. You divide everything. Oppressor, oppressed. White, black. All right? Here's another one from Vice. That's an online magazine. Dear white people, please stop pretending reverse racism is real. Okay? On what basis? Stop pretending. Just the fact that you think that shows you're wrong. There's no reason involved with that. That's an emotional argument that's being made. Here's another one, BuzzFeed. You're familiar with that one. It's a liberal. 21 things white people ruined in 2015, besides everything. White people. White people are the problem. He charted these in his dissertation, and I've taken these things from his dissertation that's available online. And he was working on his doctoral dissertation, searching for the frequency of such terms as white people, whites, white men, appearing online since the year 2000. He recorded hits for articles criticizing white people and identity for anti-critical articles, those arguing against critical themes. And this is what he found. Pretty much level until you hit what year? 2010. 2010 was the mayor, 10 years ago. And then skyrocketing. All problems related to race are white people's fault. All right? No realism or understanding of history is allowed to interfere with this. Not the fact that it was black folks that were selling other black folks in Africa for the slave trade. No mention of that. No, not at all. No mention of the fact that predominantly black nations in the Caribbean have had systemic problems of racism among their own people groups because they have a slightly different tint or have slightly different features or they intermarried with a certain group of people, Hispanics, all right? They're despised and hated too. No mention of that. And guess who gets blamed? Let's come over here. 2012 to 2016, in this thing right here, who gets blamed? Conservatives. They're the bad people. Now, what party was Abraham Lincoln a part of? Republican Party. What party fought against Abraham Lincoln to preserve slavery in the South? The Democrats. Do you know that they have successfully been able to separate in people's thinking in schools all across America and in universities that the Democratic Party is has no link to that. They've been lying for years. A current presidential candidate has used racial epithets over and over again over the years, and they've successfully bleached all that. Oh, wait, we can't use the word bleach because that turns things white, right? Okay. Bad, bad, bad. The least group to be blamed, liberals. Okay? Just a dotted line for them. Yeah, there's some, but not like the conservatives. Immediately when a white conservative speaks, they're immediately labeled racist, white supremacist. That's the narrative. Blaming the color of one's skin as being the source of the problem. I'm here to tell you, it's not. It's a theological problem. The view of your heart. The view of your heart. Is it vile, like the Bible says? Or is it basically good and it's just white people, that's the problem? Let's move on. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Because I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're just going to get started with this, but I want to read through it, and I want to emphasize some things. I hope you've got a pen or a highlighter with you, because I want to emphasize some things about the divisions and distinctions that the Bible comes up with, and they're not based on the color of your skin. Not based on the color of your skin. As a matter of fact, you can go through this Bible over and over again, and you won't find race or color mentioned. All right? So I know one, Song of Solomon. Talked about the girl, the Shulamite woman. She was dark. She even admitted that she was dark. Have you ever seen a suntan? All right? See how people can be out in the sun during the summertime and their skin gets darker? You know, it is remarkable to me how people are so... Well, I'm going to get it started. Let's go. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now that's important. The course of this world. What's the course of this world? It's the outplaying of the wickedness of the human heart, lawlessness. That's the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we have a distinction. We have children of what? What does that assume? Children of obedience. All right? And we're going to see that as we go through this passage. So we see a division, a distinction that's made here that matters. Children of disobedience. Is there any color mentioned there? Nope, not a bit. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So now we see another distinction is made. Children of wrath, as opposed to what? Children of God's blessing rather than His wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead to sins, hath quickened us, what's that next word? Together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Is there any distinction of color there? No, it says together. All people. All people who come to faith in Christ. So we don't look at other believers of different color with a different lens, do we? We're together in Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Now, do you have another distinction given here? Circumcision and uncircumcision. Gentile, Jew. Saved, lost. All right? That's the distinctions that we make. Any color mentioned there? Oh. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, and making peace. So you have these divisions, uncircumcision, circumcision, Gentiles, Jews, lost. Say, what did he do? He broke down the barrier through his cross work on Calvary so that he could bring lost souls together in him. That's the picture. Let's go on. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. There's another distinction. Strangers, foreigners, lost ones, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Any color mentioned there? Any distinction of color mentioned there? No. What is he considering here? In one race, there are two divisions. There are the saved and the lost. That's it. That's it. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded, there's our word again, together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I want you to see how many times the word together is mentioned there, with no mention of color. No mention of color. You see, folks, we have a theological problem. We have a sin problem. And the only one that can deal with that is Jesus Christ. This is my last slide that I'm going to touch on today. And then I'm going to just take questions, because I think I've stirred up some thoughts, I pray, that will help us to understand this whole racism thing through a biblical lens. I am not saying, folks, that we are to run around and we're trying to reconcile all the people groups. The only one who can reconcile the people groups is Jesus Christ. The church has failed miserably in its effort for the last 50 years to run around and try to erase all the racial issues. All right? If we just give them a voice, if we do this, if we do that, it didn't solve the problem, it hasn't solved the problem. It won't solve the problem, because the answer is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. It's always bothered me whenever a person who claims to know the Jesus of the Bible had racial issues. It's always bothered me. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? They haven't allowed the Holy Spirit of God to come into that portion of their thinking and clean it up and get it right. Get it right. We look at the color and immediately, because that's what we have been taught. That's how we have been trained. I told you about the young lady who came to our school back in the early 90s. Her parents worked for the State Department. Her father was in the Marine Corps. They were stationed over in Senegal. And she was responding to all this BLM and stuff on Facebook. And she said, I attended Santa Rosa Christian School in the mid-90s. And I want you to know that there was no black and white in that school. I was treated like a child. I was treated no differently because of the color of my skin. My teachers loved me. I didn't have one black teacher. But every one of my teachers at Santa Rosa Christian School loved me and taught me, and I never once sensed racism. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what she wrote. Now, that just thrilled my soul to hear that. This girl's been gone for almost 20-something years from our school. We haven't seen her in many, many years. By the way, there were four of them that were in our school from that family. Now, this is important to get a hold of. When Jesus transforms your heart, He wants you to have your mind transformed too. And that's what Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 is all about. Let this mind be in you. That's from Philippians. We're going to be talking about that today. But you need to be transformed in your thinking. That means that sometimes we need to let the Word of God wash us of the training that we got when we were younger. Some people cling to the training that they got with younger with religious tradition in mind. How many of you had to leave behind some of the teaching of your parents when you got saved by grace? Had to leave behind. Yeah? We've all had to do that. We may not readily, immediately think of something, but there are things that you've learned over time that could have been done better, that could have been made right. Things that you've learned from the study of God's Word said, I need to work on this a little bit. I need to get this thinking changed in this particular area. We have got to let God's Word clean us up in all aspects of our life. Now, the Bible does make distinction and divisions, but never does it make it on color. That's important. That's very important. Because if you view everything through the lens of color, you're going to come out on the wrong street. You got the wrong GPS. You're going to come out wrong. Notice the distinctions that really matter. Not racial divisions, but one race, one blood, Acts 17:26. Not class struggle like Marxist ideology about who possesses political and economic power. That's what the left is right now running with. But civil discourse and self-government. That's what it used to be like in America. What has happened? What's the senator from California that's been attacked and they've asked the leadership to remove her from a position on the judicial committee? I forget her last name. She's an older... Yeah, Dianne Feinstein. She dared to give a hug to the senator from South Carolina to thank him for running a good interview of the candidate for the Supreme Court. And the left have gone crazy. How dare she hug him? She needs to be removed from her position. She hugged a Republican. Now, how many of you see that as silly? But do you know there's some people that have that kind of hatred? They hate. They hate. Is that a skin problem? No, that's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. And folks, the longer we go, as we approach the return of our Lord, the stronger the hate's going to be. The stronger the hate. Because of your color, you're going to be relegated to the side. You have nothing to say. You're white. You have nothing to say. You're a Christian. We hate you because you follow that Bible that condones slavery. Really? Really? Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that He went to the place of the dead and He led captivity captive. You know what that means? He set them free. That's the Bible position. Whenever Christ saved you, He set you free from the bondage and chains of sin. And this world hates that because it doesn't believe that we're sinners. believes we're teaching something that's abhorrent, because they believe in evolution. We're all getting better. We're all improving. We don't have the oppressed and oppressors, but rather we have disobedient and obedient. Always look through that lens, Christian. It's obedient and disobedient. It's never oppressed and oppressor. It's a different view, but it's a biblical view. The Bible's made that very clear. I wish we could take time to go through all these passages here. Colossians 3, 6, Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, which we just read. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Let me just read that very quickly while I'm here. Chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." That's a distinction that matters. And then finally, not colors, but character. Not colors, but character. Proverbs 10 and verse 9, Proverbs 11 and verse 3, we are to walk in the integrity of our heart. What is that talking about? It's talking about character. Integrity. Integrity is being what you advertise yourself to be. That goes to character. What kind of a person are you? Divisions that really exist. This is from a biblical understanding. The Bible never uses skin colors as indicators of racial affiliation, period. Now, this is where we have to change our thinking, because we think this way. But the Bible never, ever uses skin colors as indicators of racial affiliation. That is a man-made distinction, and it needs to be identified as such. It's not biblical. Division, Gentile Jews. You get that from verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 2. Division, children of wrath and disobedience, children of grace. Verses 2 through 8, Ephesians chapter 2. Division, circumcision, uncircumcision. Verse 11. Division, strangers, saints. Those are the divisions. It boils down to this. Those that are saved by the grace of God and those that are lost in their sin. No distinction of color. No distinction of color. I just finished reading the biography of William Carey. And William Carey went to India to minister the gospel. He had to go in as a businessman. He started an indigo plant, and then he ended up doing other business ventures and so forth, and brought missionaries over. They worked there, but they also ministered the gospel while they were there. He started a Bible college. He was heavily criticized because of the racial difference between the Europeans that were there and the Indians. And the standard approach was, we must subjugate the Indians. They are a subspecies. But you know what William Carey found out when he got there? That they were a very intelligent people. Extremely smart. He found out that they had a universal problem, just like white Europeans, called sin. Caste system. He said the hardest group to reach was the Brahmin caste. Which caste is that? That's the highest caste in India. He said, we had no problem reaching the lowest caste with the gospel. They were eager to hear the truth. And the other castes came along as they heard the gospel, but the hardest group that we had to reach, and he said, they were all the political leaders, the Brahmin class, all the political leaders. And he said, most of them, they didn't use the term racism in that particular time, but it was a belief system that the Brahmin class was the highest class of evolution in India. This was before evolution was even taught. But the whole caste system was built on an evolutionary principle. There are the low classes and there are the upper classes. You know what the gospel came into India and did? It broke up the caste system. By the end of William Carey's ministry, there were several Brahmins that had come to know Jesus Christ, and they were worshiping in the same building with the lower class, which was anathema. Anathema in India. You see, the problem is not the skin color. The problem is the human heart and how it thinks. That's why God says in His Word, we're going to be dealing with this in the morning worship service, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because your mind is flawed. The things that we have been taught many times are flawed. And we need the Word of God to come in and change us and bring us together in Jesus Christ. And not being distinguishing things and calling things races when they're not races. The Chinese are not a race. The Russians are not a race. The Mongolians are not a race. The Europeans are not a race. We're all one blood. The only distinction is the amount of melanin that is in our bodies. That's the only difference. And even that is very insignificant. Folks, I pray that as we've gone through this, and I'm not done yet. I've got so many things I'd like to share. I've got tons of articles here that I've copied off. This was one that was written this week. Research shows critical race theory is actually making people more racist. Well, that which was created in 1989 to solve the racial disparity is creating more racism. Why? Because the answer is theological, not political. This whole article here goes through and brings out, survey reveals harms of critical race theory. Let me just read. To subject the white lash hypothesis to a more rigorous test, I conducted a survey experiment from August the 1st through the end of the month of 2019. In total, I had 1,527 white respondents were treated with primes representative of contemporary discussions of race and then questioned on topics of identity and group attitudes. I focused specifically on self-identified conservative and high white identifying respondents. To capture the effects of critical rhetoric, I attempted to use an excerpt from Macy Stowe Domingo's Things White People Seem to Not Understand Because of White Privilege. Among white conservatives, this critical prime predicted 8% increased support among whites because they believed their color was the problem. They were capitulating to critical race theory, 8% increase. This is from last year. 8% increase among conservatives that their white skin color was the problem. On what basis? Any science involved? Can I hear an answer? No, no science. It's just a theory. But it's affecting conservatism, saying, I'm white, therefore I'm racist. I'm white, therefore I'm racist. I have white privilege, therefore I'm racist. You know what's happening? We're being conditioned. We're being conditioned. And sadly, from articles that I've downloaded from churches, large churches, pastors are teaching, yeah, we're the problem. Our skin color is the problem. We need to shut up and listen. No, we need to proclaim Jesus Christ. I want to take a few moments. We got 5 minutes here to just take some input. Questions from you. I don't want to just be the one to just spout things forward, but maybe I've stirred a chord, or maybe you disagree or whatever, but I understand this. I've tried to show you from God's Word that the race problem will never be solved by politically putting one movement or another in front of the American people. It'll never be solved that way. It's only solved by Jesus Christ. Transforming hearts one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And if you've got somebody who claims to be a Christian, who is racist, they're not a believer. I'm going to say that again. I've met some in my time. Jesus Christ is not present in that kind of a heart that would hate somebody because of the color of their skin. That's a spiritual problem, serious problem. Any questions, input? Yes, sir. We've got to be preaching the gospel. We've got to continue to put the gospel forth. Jesus Christ can transform the mind and the thinking about the race situation in our country, which really has been made up by evolutionary teaching. Evolutionary teaching has infected not only the culture, but the church. It's affected the church. Evolutionary thinking. Higher races. Lord, remember the picture I showed you at the very beginning of our study that was done by Darwin to show the transition from the lower race to the upper race? Who was at the lower end? Yeah, Aborigines, black. Who is at the upper end, amazingly? Chinese and Europeans. Isn't that amazing? And nowhere is that distinction made in the Bible. Nowhere. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that the curse of Canaan was color. You ever heard of the Canaanites? Descendants of Canaan? Are they black? No. But it was put forth by evolutionary teaching that infected religion and infected the church. And it was allowed to be cultivated, repeated over and over again. Someone else? Yes, sir. It's not. Exactly. And that's one of the reasons that the gap theory came about in the 1800s. That was adopted by the church, even in the Scofield Bible. He promotes the gap theory at the very beginning. It came right out of Darwin's teaching because it was considered science. And we can't argue with science, right? We can't argue with alchemy. You know, if you want to get the disease out of somebody, you bleed them. Can't argue with science. Our first president of the United States was bled to death because of science. You got to learn to question. It's all right to question. How many times has science got it wrong? Somebody put a meme up on Facebook yesterday. It was really good. Of all the things throughout history that science got wrong, it was astounding. Yes. I think that's why God included Proverbs 31. Because you see an outstanding woman who is involved in business and involved with her family, helping her husband. Yes. She helps her husband who's in the gates of the city. He's got a position of leadership. But she's also out hiring and firing, and she's doing all of the things. And again, how you're trained and taught makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. That's true. The key is always this. What does the Bible teach? Not what we think it teaches. But what does the Bible teach? And we have to submit ourselves to what the Bible says. Not you know, the ideas about it and so forth. And there's been, obviously, in every area of life, there has been wrong teaching and mistreatment. We've seen that throughout history. But guess what? The Redeemer of sinners is still here providing His grace and His mercy so that we can do it right and honor the Lord in our lives and in our relationships with each other. Our time is gone. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Bless us now as we go into the morning worship service. We pray that Your Word would penetrate our hearts. Lord, we live in a day of confusion, and the only way that we're going to deal with the confusion is let Your Word straighten things out. That means we have to submit ourselves to the mighty teachings of Your Word. And so, Father, I pray that You would convict us of the sin of not following Your Word in every aspect of life. And we pray that You would help us to walk with Thee daily, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention.